couldn't help myself but sing along to that last bit. Bruno Mars with The Lazy Song here on Gateway 97.8. The time is 16 minutes past 10, and guess who's in the studio?
That was singing?
Oh, it was howling though, wasn't it? It did sound a bit like howling, I have to admit. All the dogs were probably listening in the area like, where is that coming from? Is that a mating call or something? So, of course, welcome along, Andy, here in Gateway 97.8 again. Because, why are you here? Just explain.
I don't know. You dragged me in.
The film review.
Oh, yes, that was it.
That's why you're here. You do have a purpose, don't you worry. This week we went to go see a really nice, light-hearted PG film.
Yes.
Quite a young film.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Probably the oldest people there, weren't we? Or you were.
Well, no, they weren't. Fine.
We went to go see... Sorry, did you want to say something?
No.
Okay. Good. Okay, we went to go see How to Train Your Dragon 2, which has been out in the cinema recently. As I said, it is classified PG. It's probably the youngest film we've seen in a while, because we've normally gone to see 12As, sometimes 15s,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, it's definitely the youngest film we've seen.
We've changed it up a bit this time, and it was a really nice surprise. I thoroughly enjoyed it. But then my inner child would love something like this anyway, you know. So the director is... Okay, I'm going to try my best to say this. I'm so confused in how to pronounce it. Dean, I got that bit right. Dean, I can do it. Hold on. I can do the Dean bit. It's the surname that confused me. Is it Dubois? I assume it is, because it sounds like it should be French or have a French
accent. I was
going
to say, don't ask me.
Dean Dubois. Basically, he's also directed Lilo and Stitch. He did the previous How to Train the Dragon film. And this is super cool, because I really loved this film as a kid, and I still do. He was also the co-head writer of Mulan, you know, the animated feature, the family film that came out in 1998?
Really?
So long ago!
I am old.
I was so young when it came out. So some of the actors starring in this film, How to Train Your Dragon 2, Cate Blanchett and Gerard Butler.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Very good actors there. Now, the genre of this film is animation, action, and adventure. Totally to be expected. You've got dragons in the title, so what do you expect? And this is a bit about it. When Hiccup and Toothless discover an ice cave that is home to hundreds of new wild dragons and the mysterious dragon rider, the two friends find themselves at the center of a battle to protect the peace. So that's summing up the story without giving too much away. And let's get straight into it, shall we?
Okay.
First topic, let's talk about music.
Okay.
And the soundtrack.
Yes.
My notes on it, basically, that the music and the soundtrack were super nice and they matched the time period and the culture very well, because they had, it wasn't just instruments, they also had vocals and all of that sort of thing as well. So it definitely matched the whole Viking sort of era.
Yep, I've actually put great soundtrack used to set the scenes perfectly. And as you say, it did use the vocals and stuff, yeah.
Yeah. They were chilling at times though, weren't they?
Yeah.
That's always the thing when you get the male and female vocals and, it's chilling.
Some terrible scenes had sharp, quick orchestral and vocal.
Ooh, yeah. I'll check you out.
That's what I read. It really did. It stood out.
It did. And I definitely think it helped, as you say, like with the tempo and the feel of the moments and the scene, they definitely emphasised everything that's going on. It wasn't bad enough just watching it, and then you got the music giving you chills as well. So a very exciting film, very good.
Early on in the film, part of the music went from a happy sort of feel good moment to a bit of a sort of terrible moment, and the change just was really great. It set the scene perfectly.
Definitely, really definitely. So that's what we have to say about the music and the soundtrack, because we thought basically it's pretty much awesome. Now let's get into the CGI, because obviously the whole film is animated and computer generated, and it's fantastic.
Yeah.
I have to say it's one of the best probably CGI films out there. The art and the art style, really good and very nice, very aesthetically pleasing.
So yeah, it's very, very similar to the first one, very cartoony.
Yeah, but very nice in their own way.
Oh, definitely, yes.
And the whole point of it being aesthetically pleasing as well is what you kind of expect from a kid's film, because you need to obviously grab the kid's attention and be able to sustain that throughout the film. So that's
and
probably
your attention.
I was going to say that's probably why. That's right. Thanks. You had to bring that up, Andy. Also, what I really, really, really loved, because it was all like high definition sort of thing, you know. So the CGI, the detailing is very intricate and amazing. So, for instance, the water really looked very realistic. And The colours looked amazing, the locations were amazing, the ice looked amazing, and you even saw all the various textures, like the skin when it was close up, and the hair, and the skin of the dragons, stones, the locations, all the various textures that you'd get.
Yeah, talking about locations, the ice cave sort of areas, very looked like ice. It really looked like it was legitimately an ice cave. And again, like the opposite of that, green lush sort of tints and trees and stuff.
It was amazing.
All that looked like it was a real sort of setting as well.
Gets your approval?
Oh, definitely.
Definitely gets your approval. Right, so that is music and the CGI and shots and scenery.
Yeah, the dragons, obviously, is a film about dragons. The dragons also like the huge
Wouldn't
shots.
It be a massive disappointment if it said How to Train Your Dragon and it was just a film about puppies or something? Although puppies are cute, but like...
what I was going to say was a couple of shots with a huge amount of dragons in. That was just sort of
powerful, awe-inspiring. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
You kind of wish it was real. Wouldn't that be so cool if you had a dragon?
Yeah, I wouldn't mind a toothless.
Yeah, you wouldn't mind being toothless? No.
I could numb food easier.
Just mush it up.
That's it, yeah.
No, I think, it would be so cool to have toothless as... I dibs it as my dragon.
No, I
didn't. Right, we'll get into more of the... Oh, no.
I just wanted to say one more shot related.
Okay, then.
The start of the first and the end of the first film was a shot of him describing the town. Second film done exactly the same thing at the beginning, describing the town with the dragons.
Yeah. It was really nice. Nicely done. Nicely done, guys. Okay, so that is, like I said, the music, the CGI, the shots and the scenery. We'll get into the humour, the content and the script and the pace as well in just a moment's time. But let's have some music. And it is this now on Gateway 97.8, Sam Smith with Money on My Mind. Hello again to Andy, my guest in the studio for this hour. Hello.
Hello again.
Of course, you are here because we are talking... What?
Of course I'm here.
I'm not just imagining it, I'm just proving it to myself right now. You are real. We are talking about How to Train Your Dragon 2. Yes, you are here, don't worry.
I was just checking.
And we're moving on to the humour part of it, the content, the script, that sort of stuff. And my notes in regards to this is that it is super funny. This film was...
Oh, yes.
Oh, it was really funny.
Yeah, as we touched on the last section, Toothless, the dragon, the main primary dragon, is a playful puppy, basically.
Oh, he's awesome. He's cheeky.
Yeah. Yeah, can be serious, but
he's still
young
him.
In age.
But yeah, he is awesome. He is absolutely awesome. What I also liked that they did here, and I don't know if they did it in the first one, it's not something I picked up on, but I definitely picked up on it straight away in this film, is that in every shot, you know, everything was considered. No space or opportunity was wasted. For example, when it became the serious moment...
I know what you're going to say.
So, like, when Hiccup would be discussing a very serious topic and something maybe quite sad or angry, you would have Toothless and, like, dragons in the background mucking around and playing and all the comedic stuff during the serious moments,
which was awesome. I don't remember that from the first either. And as soon as you started saying that, I knew what you were going to mention, so I remember not noticing that.
It's really good for kids as well, because if they don't quite understand what's going on with the story, if they're quite young, then at least they can see the silly things that are happening in the background.
Yeah. But near the beginning, as you say, when they're having a serious conversation, he is having a playful fight with one of the other character dragons. And that's enough to keep anyone entertained.
Yes. I was very entertained. And then I thought maybe they just do it for the one scene, but they have done it throughout the film, which I thought was a really nice touch for the kids and for the adults too. Like, I really enjoyed it because I paid attention to what was being said, and at the same time I got to have a smile and a giggle because I saw what was going on in the background.
Yeah.
So that was quite nice. So that's what I have to say about the funny side of it. The script is hilarious. Now, this film... it has quite sad and intense moments. Most of the time, it's still, you know, they still may manage to lighten the mood and make it amusing with the funny bits in the background, but not all the time. And just be prepared then, you know, there are quite a few intense moments within the film and the story.
I did make a note saying loads of feelings.
Loads of feelings.
Yeah, it did have me going all over the place.
Yeah, there was one little girl near you, I think, down the row somewhere that was crying and being comforted
she was
by the dad.
I can't remember exactly what part, because there were a few sad parts
moments,
from memory, so yeah.
So just be ready. It is more intense than the first film. Mm. So
she was quite young, but she obviously knew there was a sad moment.
A very sad moment. And in regards to the pace, I think it's very good. Suddenly the film was over and I was like, oh, okay. You know, so obviously the pace was very good because I didn't get bored or think, oh, how much longer is this? So the kids should remain quite amused throughout the film.
I want to just add the... I actually wondered halfway through. The film didn't seem shorter by any means.
No.
Halfway through, I thought, that's coming towards the end now.
and then it
carried on again. And I didn't tweak how long it had been going or anything.
No.
But it seemed like it was a good length of time to end there with the story. And then the story developed more.
It carried on. Yeah. But it carried on building up. It's not like it just plateaued and that was the end of it.
Oh,
it did carry on building up.
Yeah.
Now, I've got a bit of a weird note. If you're done with... the humour and the pace.
Yeah, loads of feelings and a big puppy, that's all I've got.
This is something that has bugged me since the first movie, and it's obviously in this one as well, and it really, 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 really confuses me, because I don't know who was in charge of this side of it and why they did that.
I
don't know. Basically, what is up with the accents? Right. So you've got the whole village has a Scottish accent. Makes sense. Or I think it's Scottish.
Mm-hmm. Right? That's come across, yes.
But, like, the youngsters are all American? What happened there? Like, that really confuses me.
I never noticed that.
Yeah, it was in the
first
one.
You've got a good point. Yeah, it's the same in the first one, yeah.
And it just... I don't understand. It's like this whole generation has suddenly turned American. What happened?
I never noticed that. That is a very good point, actually. the Scottish accents for the adults and stuff, they are sort of typical Viking sort of looking, aren't they? Whereas the youngsters, as you say...
And it's like, why was it? Was it that the actors that they picked weren't able to do the accent? Or they just decided maybe for the market that they didn't want... They wanted it to be more universal. So they, for the elder generation, they had the accent. But to go with the youngsters, they were all American. Because we, you know, there are a lot of American movies and...
Maybe.
I don't know. It really confuses
me.
Although
now I'm going to notice that whenever I watch those films again.
Because it kind of takes it out of the, like, the originality. Do you know what I mean? Like, you think you're in that world. And then as soon as you hear... Especially where they... If everyone had an American accent, you wouldn't notice it. But because they especially gave the Scottish accent to make it feel really authentic,
yep.
And then to give the younger ones the American one, you notice it a lot. Well, I did anyway.
Yeah. And, I was gonna say, I did.
And it just would take me out of it because it's like, are you really a Viking or are you from the future? Because, you know.
I'm going to go and have to watch the first one now.
I think it's the same voice actors.
Yes. Yeah. No, I never realised.
Don't understand. Maybe they had like American nannies and
yes, those TV shows picking up the lingo from there.
Yeah, but that is my only one negative about this. But you know, I still thoroughly enjoyed the film, and I think that's it for those points.
Yeah, regarding the pace, I had no real complaints of it. The slow moments were not too slow, as you say. They kept you busy in the background, so there's always something. But they never felt slow, but they kept having fun moments in, and they fit the story fine. So,
good.
Yeah,
good.
I thought the face was fine.
You're listening to Tara Malik. Tara Malik on Gateway 97.8.
We are still discussing the film review, Andy, about How to Train Your Dragon 2. We got the final notes on that one. Just really quickly, we want to mention about the characters. They're obviously really funny. We get an introduction to loads of new characters in this film, and some very important characters too. Not going to give anything away. But I just wanted to quickly, briefly touch on the really awkward sort of love situation that's happening in this story. It was so cringeworthy
was
and
weird.
Creepy.
Yeah.
But really funny at the same time.
It was. I guess they couldn't really fit the characters into a story elsewhere too much. Because it was a weird situation.
It was so funny, but you have to see it. It's not integral. Creepy.
Not integral to the story.
No,
at all,
it's just for the whole
funny.
Comedy side of it. It really is. It's just to make you have a giggle and make you feel sort of like cringy in your seat. observing this. And,
it was weird, I'll agree.
Very weird. Okay, so just finally now I want to pick up on the fact that this is a super, super fun family film. So everyone will thoroughly get something great out of this. It's very fun and colourful and eye-catching for the kids. Kids will love the colours, no joke. There are various shapes and sizes and types of dragons, and through that, loads of colours. The locations are really cool, so you get really colourful backgrounds as well. And it's just a really good movie, so definitely a lot of fun for all of the family.
I definitely enjoyed it. I'd recommend taking kids and or other half and or the child in you.
To treat yourself during the summer.
Before the summer's over.
Yes, do it. And we're obviously going to go to the rating now, and I just want to point out that I think... Now, this is quite rare with sequels, but I think I may have actually enjoyed this one more than the first. Slightly. They're both good films, but I think I enjoyed this one a bit more.
I'll probably agree with you, to be honest.
Yeah, I think the story was a bit stronger and just the overall, like, what you see is it's just really
the pacing
capturing.
Was definitely good in this one compared to the first,
really good. So the rating it's got currently is 8.3, very good, of course. Yep. Another one in the high end there. I'm giving it, actually no, let's see what you're giving it. What are you giving it?
I'm giving it an 8.
An 8.
I really enjoyed it.
Guess what I'm giving it? I'm giving it a 9.
Oh, 9.
I'm giving it a 9. Nice. Yeah, I'm actually going there today. I really enjoyed it.
Good.
So that is my rating. That is it for the film review. Hope you enjoyed it. Thanks again, Andy, for coming in. We just want to say definitely go check out How to Train Your Dragon 2. You know, bring friends, family, kids, everything. It is a really good, fun, feel-good movie. You know, you will really enjoy
it's
honestly.
Definitely one to enjoy.
And a bit more lighthearted as well, because there's a lot of heavy, deep, scary stuff at the moment. Unless it's something you're really into. I'm not. I think I'm much happier go see the kids' film. So, yeah, that's pretty much it from us on this one.
Empire Cinema, Festival Leisure Park, Basildon. Showing the best films around.